Warning, although this podcast revolves around Disney, Disney movies, and Disney-related themes, we have a tendency to use mature language, which is not suitable for all ages. Discretion is advised.
Do you want to build a snowman? If you don't, you're just going to have to let it go, because on this edition of the Ocho and Ortiz Disney Podcast, we are reviewing Frozen. So without further ado, let's get things started. That is right, ladies and gentlemen. We have been talking about it for a couple of episodes. This is our Frozen review in honor of the 10th anniversary of the release of the first Frozen. And before we get into the review today, obviously I want to shout out our socials. So if you do want to give us a follow on social media, we would greatly appreciate that. You can find us on Twitter at Ocho Ortiz Disney. Instagram at Ocho and Ortiz Disney Pod, or Facebook, facebook.com/ Ocho and Ortiz Disney Pod. You can also become our patron on Patreon, patreon.com/ Ocho and Ortiz Disney Pod. You can buy some merch from Spreadshirt, shop.spreadshirt.com/ Ocho and Ortiz Disney Pod. And I am actually wearing a shirt that I just ordered. Some Ocho and Ortiz Disney podcast merch. So we have hoodies, we've got hats, we've got t-shirts, we've got a whole bunch of other stuff that we will be, that you can find and buy on Spreadshirt if you want to do that. I may be opening up a Printful shop as well. This is actually where I got this shirt from, as I ordered it from Printful, and the quality actually turned out rather good. I'm happy with the quality. So I might open up a Printful shirt for now, but for now you can find us on Spreadshirt. And of course, the best way to help us for free is just to let your friends and family know where they can find this podcast. If you enjoy it, help spread the word. We are available on all podcasts and platforms, including but not limited to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and of course the main source of uploading is Podbean, ochoandortizdisneypod.podbean.com. With that out of the way, like I said, we are reviewing Frozen today. This is our...
Let me go.
What? This is our 34th episode. We actually already recorded a 34th episode, which is our episode reviewing Disney food. But we're actually going to release that after this episode. So that's actually going to be our 35th episode, even though it's already been recorded and at this point half edited. But this is going to be our official 34th, and then we will release the Disney food episode afterwards. But with that out of the way, Josh, how are you doing?
I'm going to Disney in like 2 days. Actually, well, I'm not really going to Disney. I'm going to Universal. I'm going to Florida in two days.
Yeah, you're going to Florida for Universal, but you are doing the Disney World Christmas. No?
No, it's sold out.
Bastards. Oh, okay.
Well, we were more focused on shit. This thing crept up on us so fucking fast because we were like, we got time. It hit November and we looked at each other. My sister and I were like, fuck, that's in like 2 weeks. Shit, we need flights. I literally booked flights last night for like 4 days before I went, but we got a good deal.
Yes.
Shitty flights.
Yeah, you were telling me about booking your flight yesterday, so.
Yeah, shitty flight. At least the flight home is shitty, but like dirt cheap. Paid $250 round trip. Like, what the fuck?
The flight home, is that the 6.5 hour layover?
Yeah. Philadelphia. What am I going to do in Philadelphia? Besides, I'll get a Philly cheesesteak, but am I going to get a Philly cheesesteak at 9 o'clock in the morning? I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe.
Stay tuned.
You could.
I could. But, I mean, like, it's not like, I mean, we can go to Philly in April.
For WrestleMania.
Ah, see, there you go. You got it. You know where I was going with this.
You already missed it when you said when you were talking about the Philly cheesesteak, and you said, "What am I going to do in Philly?" I said, "Go get your tickets for WrestleMania."
It's like, I got a 6-hour layover. We're going to leave just to go to, like, the stadium just to buy some tickets. Solid way to get, you know, real, like, tickets in hand, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't wait until April or March to buy the tickets. Just get them now.
Hey, man. Sometimes those work out. It works out to buy those tickets, like, day of. You can get them dirt cheap, too.
Yeah, and then sometimes you get nothing, like when we went to New York for WrestleMania 35. But
dude, that was such a blessing in disguise, though, man.
Yes, yes, it was.
Like, because we didn't stay anywhere near the stadium.
No.
We were way the fuck out. We weren't even in Manhattan. We were in Queens. And, like, Mania was technically in Jersey, so, yep. Like... And the trains and everything stopped running
at
like
and the midnight, rain?
And WrestleMania ran till 1, and because WWE didn't tell anybody that they were going to run that late.
Yeah, they didn't tell the transit authority or anything, so yeah, no, the trains... Yeah,
and, like, people were literally stranded until the morning, and had to pay, like, $300 in Ubers.
Yeah, and it was raining and shit. Meanwhile, we just watched it from our hotel room, and we ordered some fucking Italian. Well, I ordered Italian. I can't remember what you ordered, but yeah, we just ate in the hotel room and watched it on in the hotel. And as you said, it was a blessing in disguise, and it worked out better for us that way.
Way better, way, way, way better. Blessing in disguise. And that was a really fun trip, although you were sick, which kind of sucked because you were not feeling the greatest.
Yeah, no, that was the only thing that really bummed me out was just how sick I was leading up to, like, literally 2 days before I left, I was in the hospital because I had pink eye and I was getting checked out by a doctor. And I'm like, he told me straight up, he's like, yeah, you have pink eye. I'm like, I'm going to New York in like 2 days. Like, what am I supposed to do? It's like, just go. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, pink eye's not contagious. I'm like, that goes against everything that I learned growing up. Like, growing up, I heard pink eye was super fucking contagious. And now I'm being told it's not contagious and just go to New York. Like, this was pre-COVID, obviously. Like, I don't know if the doctor would still recommend that now. But pre-COVID, he was like, yeah, just fuck it, just go.
Man, if I'm sick, even if I have a little cold, I'm still fucking going on vacation. The fuck do I care? Not my problem. I don't have COVID. I don't care. I got my shots. I don't give a fuck. I'm still going.
So, yeah, but yeah, that was definitely other than just being sick and having that really bad fucking cold and basically stopping at CVS and Walgreens every fucking day to get cough medicine and fucking just medicine to stop me from sneezing and shit. Other than that, it was a super fun trip. I just wish I was a little bit more healthy to enjoy it.
That's fair. That's fair. That was a good trip. That was our first trip together, I think.
It was. Yeah. It was indeed. And the hotel was really nice too. Great fucking view.
Oh, dude, that was fucked. Like, it was in the projects, right? It was. I remember, like, I took an Uber there from LaGuardia, and the fucking, like, Uber was like, I wouldn't stay here. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, you're in the projects. Be careful. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. I've stayed in the ghetto of fucking Mexico. You think I give a shit?
But I mean,
I've stayed in the ghetto in Jersey too. I don't care.
I mean, it turned out to be like, it wasn't as bad as your Uber driver made it out to be, because
no, the hotel was fucking nice as shit. And like you said, the view was dope. We had a fucking skyline view of fucking Manhattan.
Yeah.
We saw the bridge, everything. That was dope.
And it was literally right across the street from the hotel that I had stayed at the year before when I went to New York on my own. So, like, I had no issue with that area because I had stayed in that area the year prior. Again, like I said, completely on my own. So it didn't bother me at all.
Yeah. And plus, like, the subway was literally down the street too. It was easy.
Yeah.
I liked it.
But enough about our New York trip. We are here today to talk about Frozen. And
yes,
I do have my notes for Frozen. So we are going to get right into it. So
let it go, let it go.
So the movie starts off with a scene of a bunch of people breaking ice. I just call them the icebreakers. I don't know what they're actually supposed to be called in the movie, but it starts off with
ice baby.
Speaking of baby, we get the icebreakers, and we also see baby Kristoff and baby reindeer Sven. And They're singing the song called The Frozen Heart, and the final lyrics in the song are "Beware the Frozen Heart," which foreshadows what's to come in the movie. Obviously, if you're watching the movie for the first time, you don't really notice that, but when you're watching the movie after already having seen it numerous times, you kind of pick up that that's foreshadowing of what's to come in the film. So after this scene, we cut to Anna and Elsa as children playing, and Elsa is using her powers to make it snow inside the castle because they are the children of the king and queen of Arendelle. And so they're playing in the castle. Elsa is using her powers to make it snow inside the castle because she has these super magical powers, which she can create ice, snow, basically cold weather effects. It shows them building a snowman who Elsa names Olaf. At this point, Olaf isn't alive. We'll get to that later. At this point, it's just a regular snowman that they name Olaf. And then Elsa is making like piles of snow steps for Anna to jump on and play on. But Anna is jumping higher and higher, and Elsa's trying to keep building these snow steps higher and higher. And at one point, Elsa basically tells Anna she's going too high. And Elsa, like I said, is trying to make them higher. But in the process, she ends up slipping on some ice on the floor. And as she slips on the ice, Anna is continuing to jump higher and higher. And now she has nothing to land on. And Elsa tries to save Anna before she like just lands and hurts herself on the ground. And she tries to use her powers to build another snow step. But instead, she hits Anna with like an ice blast straight to her head, and it completely knocks out Anna. And then her parents, the king and queen, come into the room and they see Anna completely unconscious. And the king tells Elsa that her powers are getting out of control, but they then take Anna to the forest to see these rock trolls who live in the forest, and they help heal Anna. And the main troll, Grandpappy Troll, tells the king that they're very lucky because Anna took a strike to the heart or to the head, and that a strike to the head is easier to fix than a strike to the heart. So he ends up healing Anna. But in doing so, they also alter Anna's memories so that she doesn't remember Elsa's magic powers. She'll remember having fun with Elsa and playing with Elsa and all that. But all the memories of her, of Elsa using her powers and playing in the castle is gone. They alter it so it seems like they've been playing outside in the snow rather than Elsa building snow in the castle. And while the trolls are doing this, we also see baby Sven and baby Kristoff hiding behind some bushes and stuff, witnessing this whole thing. Grandpappy Troll then tells Elsa that she has to learn to control her powers, which the king takes to mean that Elsa needs to hide her powers and basically hide Elsa from the kingdom of Arendelle. So that's what he does. He basically locks Elsa in her room and causes her to lead a life of isolation growing up, as he locks her away and doesn't allow anyone from the kingdom into the castle anymore. They close the castle gates, and no one can come in or out of the castle because the king does not want anyone finding out about Elsa's powers. This also separates Elsa and Anna, and they grow up isolated from each other. And basically, the only way they communicate and talk to each other is through doorways. And we actually see that in the next scene. We see a montage of Anna, and this is where she starts singing the song, "Do You Want to Build a Snowman?" And it starts off with like toddler Anna, and it's a montage that progresses to Anna and Elsa both growing from toddlers into like adult women. And the whole time, Anna just wants to play with her sister. But of course, as I mentioned, Elsa remains locked away in her room. And during this montage, we also see the king and queen leave to go on a trip once Anna and Elsa reach the adulthood stage of the montage. But the king and queen get shipwrecked and die at sea. And we then see Anna and Elsa separated by Elsa again being locked in her room, kind of looking sad, lost, and unsure of what their futures hold. Because now their mother and father are gone, and they've been separated their whole lives growing up. And with Elsa being the oldest of the two, she's next in line to take the throne and become the Queen of Arendelle. And Josh, feel free to jump in anytime if you want to add anything.
No, you're doing a great job. I was just trying not to sing, do you want to build a snowman there? That's going to be my, I feel like that's going to be my thing, hard thing for this review, is not trying to sing every fucking song.
Do you want to build a snowman?
No. Oh my God. Did I ever show you? I need to like send you one of the episodes of the other podcast that we did. Me, Naz, and Dave. Or Dave. You're Dave. Me, Naz, and Arvin, where we remixed songs with like accents and shit. We didn't remix. It was either remix or it was an accent, right? And one of them remixed, or they didn't remix. They just put an accent onto "Do You Want to Build a Snowman?" And it's like with like a patois accent. And they're like, "Go away, Anna. Okay, bye."
That's amazing. Yeah, you definitely have to link me so I can hear that one.
That's one of the best episodes we did.
Oh, man. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, no, I definitely have to hear that. Oh, fuck. Okay, but getting back on track. So after the death of the king and queen, we then fast forward 3 years. I don't know why it took 3 years. Typically, I mean, in the movie, they say Elsa has to come of age. So I don't know what the age is. I don't think they ever mention in the movie what age Elsa is. I guess 18 to become a full adult rather than just a teenager. I don't know. It's never really, her age is never really given away as far as I can remember. But again, so we wait 3 years for her to become of age, for her to officially become queen. And as far as I know, in all monarchies, basically as soon as the king and queen is dead, the firstborn child takes over like right away. As far as I know, there is no waiting period. Like, who the hell was in charge of Arendelle for 3 years while we're waiting for Anna to reach of age? That doesn't ever get explained. And it's just a little pet peeve for me. Probably doesn't bother 99.9% of people out there watching this movie, but I'm the 0.01% that it kind of bothers.
Apparently, I Googled it. Apparently Elsa is 21.
Okay.
That's when she becomes queen.
So she would have been 18. So she still technically would have been an adult, a legal adult when her parents died. So yeah, I don't know why they waited 3 years, but yeah, that's just a little sticking point for me. But so it's now coronation day for Elsa after 3 years of waiting for her to come of age.
The window is open, so is that door. I didn't know they did that anymore.
We're getting there. again, because Elsa is the oldest of the two sisters, she is the first in line for the throne. And she is now set to become the queen of Arendelle. And Anna gets excited because, as Josh was just singing, for the first time in forever, the gates to the kingdom are finally being opened to the outside world due to the coronation. And Anna is all excited about this and singing the song for the first time in forever. And meanwhile, Elsa is worried about whether or not she is going to be able to control and conceal her powers long enough to get through the coronation. Josh, if you want to sing a bit more of For the First Time in Forever, I will allow you to do so.
For the first time in forever. Sorry. I think it's that scene.
It is, yes. Yeah.
No. There's something else. There's a little cameo when they open the doors. Do you know this?
It's Rapunzel. No, it's, is it Rapunzel from Tangled?
Yep.
Yeah.
Rapunzel and Flynn Rider.
Yeah.
They're walking by there.
And I keep looking for that, and I always don't see it. I even paid close attention last night to see it, and I still didn't spot them. But yeah, I know the cameo is there because I've heard about it a bunch of times. But like, I can't seem to find them during that scene.
No, they're there. I've seen it a few times. So that makes one of the rumors is that they're cousins.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right?
That's a rumor that they're cousins.
And of course, the other rumor is that, or the other theory is that all Disney movies are connected within a universe, because one of the other theories is that the shipwreck, the ship that Anna and Elsa's mom and dad are on that gets shipwrecked is actually the ship that you end up seeing in The Little Mermaid when she's looking for treasures at the beginning of the movie.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about a different one. A different theory with a shipwreck, though. Do you know about this one? Where there's a theory that the ship gets wrecked, but the parents survive, right?
Oh, and the Tarzan theory?
Yeah, they get stranded, and then they have another baby boy, and it's Tarzan.
I am familiar with that theory. Yeah, I had completely forgotten about that until you just started bringing it up. But yeah, I am familiar with that one.
That's a good one, too. I like that.
We are going to have
I love theories.
At some point down the road, we are going to have to do an episode on Disney theories. It's one that I want to do so bad.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Nice. Anyways, so while Anna is running around outside and singing for the first time in forever, she's kind of celebrating her one day of freedom with the outside world, because she knows that once the coronation is over, the gates to the kingdom are going to be shut again. So she's celebrating as much as she can. And while she's dancing and running around outside, she bumps into a prince who's attending the coronation, Prince Hans. And Anna immediately like just falls. It's love at first sight with Anna. She looks at Hans and she immediately falls. Well, she falls because of him, and then she falls for him.
He's also apparently supposed to be 23 at the beginning of, or in this one, and she is 18.
Is it 18 or 17?
18, because apparently Anna and Elsa are 3 years apart.
Okay.
Yeah. So he kind of catches her. He knocks her over and into a boat, and the boat almost falls into the water. But then his horse steps on the boat and keeps her there. And then he kind of goes to help her out, and then. What happened? He slips in and they almost fall again, and then the horse has to like literally keep them there again, and then they just they hit it off.
Yeah, they sure do. And then that leads us to the coronation, and everything with the coronation is going fine until Elsa has to remove her gloves, which she uses to help control and conceal her powers, but she has to remove them to pick up the orb and scepter of the kingdom. And during this scene, her powers almost get exposed as the orb and the scepter start to slowly freeze over, but she just manages to make it through the ceremony and put the orb and scepter back down on like the royal pillow or whatever royal thing it is that they use to present them on. She manages to put them back just before anyone can notice that they're freezing over, and she immediately puts her gloves back on to conceal her magic powers. Later during the coronation ball, Anna and Elsa are finally together and talking to each other face to face for the first time in probably a very, very long time. We don't know the last time they were actually talking to each other face to face. And I mean, Anna was obviously there during the coronation ceremony, but they weren't really talking to each other. It was just Elsa going through the motions of the ceremony and Anna watching. So at the ball is the first time they really get to talk to each other face to face. And during the ball, the Duke of Weaselton, or as he pronounces it, Wesselton, tries to find out from Anna why Arendelle closed its gates to everybody, but because Anna's memory was completely wiped from the accident, she obviously has no memory of why the gates were closed. And the Duke of Wesselton from the very beginning is presented to be this Weasley villainous character. He's clearly the one that we're supposed to root against. He's clearly one of the bad guys in the movie. And he's trying to ascertain why Arendelle shut its gates because, you know, it's made to seem that he wants to take control of Arendelle. That's the way it's kind of presented at this point. But again, Anna has no memory, so she doesn't know why they closed the gates, and she tells him this. We then see Anna with Elsa again, and Anna tells Elsa that the party is nice and that she wishes that things could be like this all the time, meaning that she wishes that the gates can be open all the time. They could have more balls. They could have more people from the kingdom over to interact with. And Elsa replies that it just can't be that way. After today, it has to go back to the way it was. Anna then walks away, obviously sad, hearing that, you know, things are going to go back to normal after this night. And she runs into Hans again on the ballroom floor. And we then get a montage of Hans and Anna together singing the song Love is an Open Door as they're flirting and shit with each other. And, you know, they're basically professing their love to each other during this song.
They finish each other's sandwiches.
That's what I was going to say. And then at the end of the song, Hans proposes to Anna, and Anna says yes to his proposal of marriage, even though they've only known each other for a couple of hours. We then go back inside to the ball where Anna introduces Hans to Elsa, and they both ask for Elsa's blessing to get married. And Elsa is very shocked and confused at this announcement. And while Anna and Hans are throwing out ideas for the wedding and living arrangements, Hans even brings up the idea of him and a couple of his brothers living at the castle with
12 Anna, brothers.
His 12 brothers living at the castle with Anna and Elsa. Obviously, things are moving super fast, and Elsa interrupts them and says that nobody is getting married, and she asks to talk to Anna alone, which Anna refuses and basically says that anything Elsa has to say, she can say in front of Hans. And this leads to a brief argument between the two sisters. And Elsa then announces that the party is over, and she tells the guards of the castle to close the gates. Anna tries to stop Elsa, and in the process of doing so, she accidentally removes one of Elsa's gloves, and she pleads to Elsa to change her mind, because Anna does not want to continue to live like a shut-in anymore. Elsa tells Anna that if she doesn't want to live as a shut-in, then she can just leave the castle, which starts an even bigger argument between the two sisters, and this leads to Elsa unintentionally revealing her powers as the guests in the ballroom look on in shock and horror. Elsa then runs out of the castle and away from Arendelle, inadvertently freezing the entire kingdom over as she leaves. Anna then leaves to go after Elsa, but tells everyone that she's putting Hans in charge of Arendelle in the absence of both herself and Elsa, which we will find out later is a big mistake.
Yep, very big mistake.
Sorry, I just need to grab a drink of water quickly.
That's it.
We then see Elsa climbing up a snowy mountain singing the song, the big song. From Frozen, Let It Go.
Let it go. Let it go.
There we go. That's what I was waiting for. And I have in my notes here, this song is fucking crack for kids. They kids go fucking ape shit for this song. It is pure crack to them. That's how I can best
literally
describe it.
Crack to them.
What's that?
Literally crack to kids.
Yeah, 100%. So she's singing Let It Go on this mountain as she builds herself an ice castle to isolate herself from the rest of the world. We then see Anna looking for Elsa through a snowy forest when suddenly a heavy tree branch covered in snow falls, spooking the horse that Anna is riding on, and the horse tosses Anna off and runs away. So now as Anna is making her way through the forest on foot, she sees smoke off in the distance and starts to head towards it because she realizes where there's smoke, there's fire, and it'll give her a chance to warm up. So as she's heading towards the smoke, she ends up falling in a small river, which obviously makes her wet and thus makes her even more cold, before continuing on and walking towards the smoke, which leads her to wandering Oaken's trading post. And this is where Anna meets not only Oaken, but she meets Kristoff for the first time, who comes in looking for carrots for Sven and some ice equipment for himself. And Anna is also looking for winter clothes for herself. And of course, this is supposed to be summertime throughout the kingdom, but Elsa inadvertently froze everything over, so Oaken doesn't have much in the way of winter clothes. Anna does manage to find something, but the selection is very, very slim. Anyways, Oaken eventually kicks Kristoff out of his hut because Kristoff, I can't remember what it was he said something to insult Oaken. So Oaken tosses him out. And we see Kristoff and Sven hiding out in sort of a side hut, a side barn of the hut, to try to stay warm during the night. And this is when Anna comes into the hut and convinces Kristoff, or tries to convince Kristoff, to take her up the North Mountain because that's where she suspects that Elsa is. Anna tells Kristoff the story of her and Anna and how this whole winter freeze during the summer occurred. And how she decided to, and basically it was Elsa that caused this. And she also goes on to tell Kristoff about the argument her and Elsa had because she had decided to get engaged to a guy that she had just met. Kristoff points out how crazy that is, but he agrees to help Anna, and they're basically making their way up to the North Mountain on his sled, when they are suddenly chased by a pack of wolves. But Anna creates some separation between themselves and the pack of wolves by lighting a torch and throwing at them. Like I said, that briefly creates some separation, and they're coming to a ridge of a mountain, and they have to make the jump from one end to the other, and they manage to jump over the cavern between the two mountains. Obviously, the wolves can't make the jump, which allows Anna, Kristoff, and Sven to escape. But in the process of jumping over this cavern, the sled does fall and drop 200 feet below, and then just you see it explode and blow up below in the cavern below them. And Anna makes a promise to Kristoff that she will eventually get him a new sled. As they continue making their way up to the North Mountain, now just on foot, they come across Olav, who is now alive and real. They initially get spooked by Olav, and Anna kicks Olav's head straight off, and Anna and Kristoff keep tossing his head back and forth to each other before Anna eventually throws Olav's head back onto his body. And this is where Olav introduces himself as Olav. And as soon as he introduces himself as Olav, Anna starts to remember. She remembers playing with Olav as a child. She then asks him if Elsa built him, and he says, yup. And she asks if he knows where Elsa is, and he says, yup. And that's where we get Olav saying he wants to experience the summertime, and we get the song In Summer, which is a great fucking song, and Josh Gad absolutely fucking kills it with his performance on this one.
He killed it. That was such a great song. Ah, man.
In Summer.
It's fucking fantastic, that song. And the best part is that, what's his name? Kristoff's like, I'm going to tell him. And she's, and Anna hits him, no, don't you dare.
Yes, yeah, because obviously Olaf does not know that in summertime, as a snowman, he is just going to melt and he's not going to be able to enjoy the summer. And Kristoff wants to tell him this, and Anna wants Olaf to keep his innocence. So he's like, no, don't you dare. It's a really cute song and scene. It's adorable.
It's great. I love that song. I don't think there's a bad song in this fucking movie, man.
No, there really isn't. It's a great soundtrack, and we will get to that. But we cut back to Arendelle, and we see the people of the kingdom trying to deal and cope with the winter weather and the winter frost that Elsa's powers have created. We then see Anna's horse return to the castle gates without Anna, which leads Hans to put a rescue team together. We then cut back to Anna, Kristoff, Sven, and Olaf as they finally discover Elsa's frozen ice castle. Anna goes inside and confronts Elsa and tries to convince her to come back to Arendelle, but while they're talking, Olaf comes in and interrupts, which causes Elsa to remember the entire accident that hurt Anna, because she also recognizes Olaf from their childhood. But again, seeing Olaf brings back the memory of the accident that hurt Anna, which once again causes Elsa to draw away from Anna. We then get a reprise of the song for the first time in forever, which is where Anna, towards the end of the song, reveals that Elsa's powers kind of froze over Arendelle accidentally. And they start to argue again, and Elsa's trying to convince Anna to leave and just let Elsa live her life of isolation. And this is when Elsa accidentally injures Anna again with another ice blast. But this time, instead of an ice blast to the head, this is an ice blast to the heart. And remember earlier that the grandpappy troll that cured Anna the first time said that an ice blast to the heart is much harder to fix than an ice blast to the head. So she injures Anna, but Anna gets up right away. She's not knocked unconscious like she was before. And Elsa creates a snow monster that throws Anna, Kristoff, Olaf, and Sven out of the ice castle. And then Anna makes a snow, as the snow monster's walking away after throwing them out, Anna makes a snowball and throws it at the snow monster, which makes the snow monster mad, and it chases them down the North Mountain. After they finally manage to escape the snow monster, Anna's hair starts getting white streaks in it because of getting struck by the ice blast from Elsa. And Kristoff notices this and tells Anna that he's going to take her to his friends, because he knows his friends can help heal Anna, because he's seen them do it before, not realizing that it was Anna that he witnessed being healed previously, because they were all so young. So he doesn't realize it was Anna that he had already witnessed being healed, but he offers to take Anna to see his friends, the trolls, to help fix her. And so the trolls, who clearly don't remember Anna.
Yeah, I don't know how they don't remember Anna.
Yeah, yeah. The trolls don't remember her at all. And they think Kristoff has just brought her there to introduce her to them, because the trolls think Anna and Kristoff are dating. We then get the song, another cute song, Fixer Upper, followed by Grandpappy Troll's entrance, where he tells Anna that because of Elsa, Anna's heart is freezing over. He then tells Anna and Kristoff that only an act of true love can thaw a frozen heart. Kristoff and Anna then set off back towards Arendelle, so she can be with her true love, Hans, because they figure that an act of true love is getting a kiss from Hans, because Hans and Anna are set to get married. You know, they fell in love right away, so they believe that Hans is Anna's true love, and a kiss from him is going to thaw her frozen heart.
True love's kiss, just like in Sleeping Beauty and everything else, right?
And all the other early Disney films, yep. And Hans, meanwhile, while Kristoff and Anna are on their way to the castle in Arendelle, Hans and his team, his rescue team, have made their way up the North Mountain to Elsa's ice castle. Hans states that no harm is to come to Queen Elsa, but then they're all met outside by Elsa's snow monster. And part of the rescue team is the two children of the Duke of Wesselton. And the Duke of Wesselton had sent his kids with Hans, and they're, I say kids, they're his children, but they're obviously adults. And yeah, he had sent them with Hans with basically the plot to kill Elsa, which Hans didn't know. But anyways, the Duke's two children make their way into the castle as Hans and the rest of the rescue team are fighting the snow monster. And the Duke's two children see Elsa and they start chasing after her. And they essentially try to kill her with arrows and crossbows as she tries to protect herself with ice and her magic powers. And Elsa manages to pin one of the Duke's sons against the wall using, she pins him against the wall of the castle using icicles. And then she uses a gust of wind to blow the other one outside of the castle window in the upper portion of the castle. So she's fighting them off. And like I said, she has one pushed outside and the other pinned up against the castle wall with icicles. And this is when Hans and the rest of the rescue team enter the castle. And they didn't see the Duke's kids try to murder Elsa with the crossbows. They only see basically Elsa attacking them with her magic powers. He tells Elsa to let the Duke's kids go and not to be the monster that people fear that she is. This does cause Elsa to ease off, but in the process of easing off, one of the Duke's kids, the one that she had pinned up against the wall with the icicles, pulls out the crossbow and tries to shoot Elsa with it again. But Hans sees this and he manages to knock the bow up into the air so it shoots at the ceiling instead of Elsa. But in the process, the arrow from the crossbow hits an ice chandelier on the ceiling. And the ice chandelier falls, knocking Elsa unconscious. And then we cut to her in the next scene, waking up, chained up, in handcuffs, in restraints, in a prison cell in the Arendelle castle, where Hans then confronts her. And then after this scene, we see Kristoff and Anna continuing to rush back to the Arendelle castle. And Anna is starting to freeze more and more. She's getting colder and colder because her heart is continuing to freeze over. But he gets her back to the castle. Again, this all, like, Hans has made his way to Elsa's ice castle, confronted Elsa, gotten into a fight with Elsa, and managed to bring her back to the castle in Arendelle, lock her up in a prison, all before Kristoff returns there with Anna, which is fucking hilarious to me. But anyways, so
Hans is on a mission, man.
He is, and Kristoff is on a mission, but just obviously not in as much of a rush, apparently. And so he gets to the castle and he hands Anna off to the guards, and he tells them to get her somewhere warm and to find Prince Hans. And then Kristoff and Sven leave the castle and go to leave the kingdom. We then see Hans getting ready to head out to find Anna again with another rescue team when she is brought in by the guards to see him. She tells Hans about Elsa freezing her heart and that he needs to kiss her right away because only an act of true love can thaw her heart. And at this point, they're alone in the room. The guards have left. The rescue team that Hans was building to go back out to look for Anna has left. So it's just them in the room. So Anna tells him this, and he goes in for the kiss to help thaw her heart, but then he stops, and then he reveals that he doesn't really love Anna, and that he's actually the villain, and he reveals that he only wanted to marry Anna to get closer to the throne and becoming king, because in his kingdom, he was, I forget what it was, 13th in line to the throne?
And yeah, something like that.
And he knew he was never going to become king of his own kingdom. And basically, everybody knew that because Elsa shuts herself off, that no one was going to be able to get close to Elsa. So he had basically played Anna, because playing Anna and marrying Anna would get him one step closer to the throne, where he was planning on killing Elsa. But now, because Elsa revealed her powers and has revealed herself to be this monster that everyone thinks she is, he can now marry Anna and then have Elsa arrested, and then he can become the king of Arendelle. And he basically tells Anna this. He tells her that he's going to kill Elsa, and then he is going to appear to be, in the eyes of the people of Arendelle, he is going to appear to be the hero that saves Arendelle from the destruction of Elsa and her magic powers. He also then puts the fire that's in the fireplace. He puts it out so that Anna can't stay warm, and he leaves and locks Anna in the room for her heart to continue to freeze over so that she can die and he can take care of Elsa. Hans then goes to other people in the castle, and he lies and tells people that Anna is dead because Elsa had killed her, but that she died in his arms right after they had said their marriage vows. So this convinces people that Elsa is evil and that she must be killed, and that Hans needs to be put in charge of Arendelle for the protection of Arendelle.
Yeah, it's that Lord Weaselton who, behind Hans there too, like, yeah, so he needs to be in charge and shit, right?
Yep.
I remember that.
And so the Duke of Weaselton, and Hans and a couple of the guards go to the prison where Elsa is being held, but she uses her powers to freeze the chains that are holding her hands in place. And she's able to freeze them and break free from the chains. And then she uses her powers to escape the prison just before Hans, the Duke, and the guards enter to kill her. We then see Sven and Kristoff heading back towards the forest, but Sven tries to convince Kristoff to turn around and go back to Arendelle. All of a sudden, they get hit with a blast of cold air, and this causes Kristoff to realize that Anna is still in danger.
How the fuck he did that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That gust of air, man. It's that magical gust of air. But we then see Anna locked in the room by herself. But then Olav uses his carrot nose to unlock the door and come inside to help her. And
he picked the lock with his nose.
It's so amazing. It's something that I didn't notice the first time I watched this movie, was the fact that he used his carrot nose to unlock the door. Like, the first time I watch it, I remember watching it and Olaf coming in, and I didn't realize how he got in, and I never questioned it. But then seeing it this time, I'm like, oh man, that's awesome. He uses his nose to unlock the door to get in. And at this point, Anna's hair is completely white because her heart is freezing over. The rest of her body is freezing over, and her hair is pure white from the ice blast earlier. And Olav ends up putting more logs in the fireplace and reignites the fire to warm up Anna. And Olav brings her closer to the fire, and she tells him that he needs to leave before he melts. And in the process of this, Anna is telling Olav that it was Hans that betrayed her. And Olav then points out to Anna that Kristoff is the one that truly loves her, not Hans. And Olav then does, in fact, begin to melt from the heat of the fireplace. And Anna tells him, Olav, you're melting. To which Olav responds, some people are worth melting for. But then a gust of wind, presumably the same gust of wind that hit Kristoff, blows the windows in the room open. And Olav looks out the window and sees Kristoff and Sven racing towards the castle. And Anna and Olav then try to escape the castle to meet Kristoff as the entire castle starts freezing over. Meanwhile, Elsa is still running away as Hans and the guards chase after her. And Anna realizes that she can't escape the castle through any of the doors or the corridors because they keep freezing over. So they go back to the room that they came from and they escape through the window that had already been opened by the gust of wind. And she starts heading towards Kristoff. And in the meantime, the gust of wind is getting worse and worse, and it's starting to snow heavily, and you know, it's a heavy snowstorm, and people can barely see what's right in front of them. And the heavy wind, so Anna's making her way towards Kristoff, but, you know, she's not seeing him that well because of the snowstorm. And then the heavy wind, because it's so gusty, it just completely blows Olaf away. And we see Anna slowly starting to freeze more and more, and we start to see that her hands are becoming ice. And during this, we also see that Hans catches up to Elsa, and Elsa tries to tell him, you know, just leave me alone. Leave me alone and take care of her sister. And this is where Hans reveals to Elsa that she killed Anna. And again, because of the snowstorm being so heavy, she can't see that Anna is alive and close by. So she thinks she is convinced by Hans that she actually killed Anna. And this causes Elsa to just fall to the ground in disbelief and heartbreak. And as Elsa falls to the floor, her anger subsides, and it's her anger that's causing this snowstorm, because she never learned to harness and control her powers. So it's her anger and frustration that's causing this gust of wind and the snowstorm and everything else that's going on. So as she falls to the ground after learning after hearing that Anna is dead, her anger and frustration subsides and gives way to grief. And with the grief, the heavy wind and the snow stops. And Anna looks over, and she finally, because of the snow letting up, she sees Hans coming up behind Elsa to strike her down with his sword and kill her. So instead of continuing to run towards Kristoff, Anna runs towards Elsa, and she throws herself in front of Elsa just as Hans is about to strike Elsa down with his sword. And just as Anna gets in front of Elsa, she completely freezes over and turns to ice. And Hans's sword strikes down between Anna's fingertips, or in between Anna's fingers, but because she is completely frozen over into ice now, the ice Anna just completely shatters the blade of Hans's sword. Elsa turns around to see Anna completely frozen, and she then begins to cry and hug her, as everybody else looks on. But as she's hugging and crying, Anna starts to slowly thaw out and unfreeze, because the act of true love that saved Anna was her sacrificing herself for her sister. So it wasn't a guy, it wasn't true love's first kiss that was her act of true love. Her act of true love was the act of sisterly love. That is what the true love was that she needed to help unthaw and unfreeze her heart.
I always thought it was Olaf.
It was the act of true love, of true sisterly love, not Olaf, not a kiss from her true love of Hans or Kristoff. It was sisterly love. That was the act of true love. And Elsa then realizes that, as she says, love will thaw. So Elsa has been hiding her powers, and her fear of her powers is what makes them uncontrollable. But through love and acceptance, she can finally learn to control and properly harness her powers. Elsa then begins to unfreeze everything and return Arendelle from this frozen winter back into the summertime that it's supposed to be. And we then see Olaf begin melting again. But Elsa uses her powers to create like a mini cloud of snow above his head that will follow him around all the time, so that he'll always stay cool and frozen and in his snowman form, even in the heat of summer. Kristoff then goes to attack Hans, who is just coming too, because when he struck Anna, he was also sent flying backwards and knocked unconscious. So he's just starting to come too. And Kristoff goes to attack him, but Anna stops Kristoff, and instead she punches Hans right in the fucking face. It was amazing. It was
right in the fucking face. Kicked him right in the balls.
Right in the fucking face. Boom.
Can you imagine just on him being like, you want to see what I can do? Wham! Frozen balls. I'll kick him in the gonads. Shatters his nuts.
That would have been amazing.
We just wrote Frozen 3.
We did. Although maybe not, because we then see Hans and the Duke of Wesselton being put onto ships and taken away as prisoners to other kingdoms. Anna then presents Kristoff with a new sled, because as I had mentioned earlier, she had destroyed his earlier sled when they were looking for Elsa, and she had promised that she would get him a new one. So she presents him with a new sled, and we then see Elsa using her powers to turn the gates of Arendelle and like the front entrance of Arendelle into a skating rink in the summertime, so that the people of Arendelle can enjoy it and skate around and have wintertime fun in the summer without everything being completely frozen over. And that basically leads us into the end of the movie. So Josh, thoughts on the movie?
Okay, so I don't know if I ever told you this, but I boycotted Frozen. I'm not going to lie, for years and years, I never saw it when it first came out. Like, I knew the song, and I never understood the hype, and I boycotted watching this movie because I'm like, nah, fuck this. This is stupid, right? And then I went on the ride in Florida, and I'm like, yo, this ride is dope. And then I went to the sing-along at Hollywood Studios, and I just fucking fell in love with it. And I think it was with the actors that actually do the stuff there, the live show.
Yeah, and I mean,
they're just funny. They have a lot of cool... Sorry, what?
And I was going to say, I mean, we talked about that on our Hollywood Studios episode. They do such a great job with that live sing-along. The actors are fantastic. Prince Eric, I fucking love Prince Eric. And the show itself is just great overall.
Sir Eric. You were knighted? No. But yeah, no, that show is what made me be like, okay, I need to go actually watch this movie. And then I finally watched it. I'm like, this movie is fantastic. I love this movie. And yeah, I don't know. I love this movie. It's great. It's fun. It's a good time. Great song. Like I said, I don't think there's one bad song in this whole fucking movie.
No. And we'll talk about that in one sec, but I'm just going to grab more water because my throat is completely dry. So you can keep talking about the songs and stuff, and I will be back in a moment.
All right. So let's talk some frozen songs. Like I said, they have the best songs in all of this. Not the best song, but they have, I don't think there's a bad song in this movie. Like, from start to finish. Why is this in Spanish? I'm looking up songs, Frozen songs again. Oh, man. But no, the songs are great. Coronation Day. I think, again, it's from the sing-along is where I fell in love with the show and the songs and the movie. I'm like, hey, I need to watch this. And it's great. It's fucking great. If you ever get a chance to go to Hollywood Studios, make sure you go to that Frozen sing-along show. It's awesome. And that's why those Frozen songs are the best.
Yeah, and I mean, the songs from I'll hear what you said in the playback, but when I'm editing. But yeah, no, the songs from Frozen are amazing. They really did help make this movie great. And that for me, that is the one thing that was really missing from the sequel. And we're not going to get too much into the sequel, but there weren't a lot of songs in the sequel compared to what there was in Frozen. Like, there was a lot of instrumental music in the sequel, but there weren't, like, any sort of lyrical songs that yeah, grabbed right. you. Like, even...
They need to bring Howard Ashman back. Yeah. Not Howard Ashman, sorry. I wish.
But Alan Menken.
Bring back Alan Menken.
But, yeah, like... Even the big song for Frozen 2, Into the Unknown, like, it's just not a grabber like Let It Go was. Like, Let It Go just hit something magical. And then, yeah, in like we talked about earlier, even a song like In Summer by Olav was just so completely incredible. Josh Gad absolutely killed it. He really should have had, like, another solo song in I think they did give him a solo song, but it just it wasn't as good in the sequel. But I mean, you mentioned the stage show as well as the ride at Epcot. And I mean, it's crazy how popular Frozen is, to the point where the Frozen ride at Epcot took over a very much beloved ride in Maelstrom.
Yep.
And it's like a lot of people were super angry about Maelstrom shutting down, but the Frozen ride has proven to be just as popular as Maelstrom was, just as beloved for a new generation, which tells you about the power of this movie. And I was recently finishing up the second season of Behind the Attraction, and on episode 5, which is the episode about Epcot, they do spend some time talking about creating the Frozen ride. And one of the Imagineers even states, like, they started doing the ride for Frozen at Epcot. Like, they started conceiving it and building it before the movie had even been released. So they didn't know how the movie was going to do, let alone how the ride was going to do replacing Maelstrom. And both of them just completely took off and were a huge success. And I mean, Frozen did $1.3 billion worldwide. It was such a huge movie, for just under $500 million domestically at the US box office, $933 million internationally. Like, this movie was just so huge. I mean, again, going back to the second one, yeah, that did better numbers at the box office, but for me, it just didn't match that first movie. So in terms of ratings, Josh, on a rating out of 10, what would you give this movie?
I'm going to give this one a solid, because of the songs, it's going to be an 8. It's going to be an 8. Like I said, there's not a bad song in that movie.
No, and it's actually a really great story. Like, it does take that, it really does take that traditional true love storyline that Disney has been known for decades, for almost a century, and really just flips it on its head in a way that was unique and cool, with it being a sister's true love. And I mean, Brave did a similar thing the year earlier when it came out in 2012, with the true love storyline being a true love between a mother and daughter. So they did the same thing. And listen, I don't know which movie was written first. Obviously, with them being released a year apart, they were probably being worked on at the same time, developed and everything, written and storyboarded. They were probably all being worked on at the same time. Obviously, even though Pixar is owned by Disney, I'm sure the studios are separate from the Disney animation. So Brave was a Pixar movie, whereas Frozen is actually just strictly Disney animation. It wasn't done by Pixar. But yeah, those are two movies that just completely flip the idea of what true love is on its head in a unique and cool way. And for me, I still think Brave was the better movie. I still think Brave was a better movie. Although I am going to actually rate Frozen higher than I rated Brave. And I don't remember what I rated Brave. I think I gave that one an 8. But I really want to redo our review of Brave 2, because Brave was one of the first ones that we did, and we didn't really have any idea what we were doing with it. But I'm going to give... I was thinking of what I was going to rate Frozen today. I was thinking about it while I was at work, because I knew we were going to record this podcast tonight. And I did want to give it a 10, because it is close to almost being a perfect film. And it's like, for me, in hindsight, we can say that it's perfection, because even though Frozen 2 did better at the box office, I think from a reception standpoint, I think Frozen has, the original Frozen has still been much better received than the sequel. Although the sequel is still loved, it's nowhere close to what the original was. And like, to me, it's as close to a perfect movie, but there were some nitpicky things for me. Like I said at the beginning, not really mentioning the age of Elsa and Anna. I mean, you had to Google it to find out. the fact that for some reason Elsa had to wait to come of age for 3 years to reach her 21st birthday before they made her Queen of Arendelle, not really explaining who was in charge of the kingdom in that 3 years time. So it is as close as to perfection as it can be, but there are some things that I still nitpick. So I am going to give it a 9.8 out of 10. So as of right now, Moana still remains the only movie that we reviewed that either of us have given a 10. I don't think you gave it a 10, but I know I did. So that one remains the only one that's a 10, but I'm giving this a solid 9.8. It's just, it's a great, fun movie.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I really like Moana.
And I mean, not only did Frozen inspire the ride and the stage show at Epcot and Hollywood Studios, but I mean, the popularity of Frozen is to the point where there's like 4 or 5 different Disney shorts for Frozen on Disney Plus. So like that tells you how popular this film is.
I think they're also building a Frozen land at one of the parks like in like Shanghai or Japan or somewhere like that.
Ooh, I would love to see what that ends up looking like.
I think it's Japan, because White and I were talking about it. Frozen Land. Oh, maybe it might be Disneyland Paris. Let's see. Frozen Land, Disney. Yeah. World of Frozen is an upcoming themed area based on the Frozen franchise. Okay, sorry. World of Frozen is an upcoming themed area based on the Frozen franchise. This land is currently being developed by Walt Disney Imagineering at Hong Kong Disneyland, Tokyo Disney Sea, under the name of Frozen Kingdom, and Walt Disney Studios Park under the name of Kingdom of Arendelle. Walt Disney Studios Park is Disneyland Paris. It's in Disneyland. It's the second one at Disneyland Paris.
Okay. Yeah. No, I definitely want to see how that turns out.
Okay. So here's a little update. Sorry. Hong Kong Disneyland, they're all under construction, but it's, as of right now, it's supposed to open November 20th of this year.
Okay.
Tokyo Disney Sea / Fantasy Springs is supposed to open June 6th, 2024, and the Walt Disney Studios Park 1 is supposed to open in 2025.
Ooh.
So okay. Frozen is a huge thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. And I do just want to say, like earlier today when I was at work, I messaged our friends in the Somebody's group on Twitter, which is a group of people, of fellow podcasters that we've known for years. Some of them are still doing podcasts, some of them aren't. And I asked them if anyone had any comments on or thoughts on Frozen, because we were going to review it tonight. So Miles, aka Best Darn Diddly, go follow him on Twitter. He says, "I've seen the 2010 Frozen. Will that work?" And I said, absolutely, that's the one we're covering, because I was at work. My brain wasn't functioning properly. And I was like, oh, wait, never mind. My brain just clocked what you said. No, Frozen 2010 is actually, I think, like a horror movie. I had to quickly IMDb it. It looks like it was a horror movie or a thriller movie. Completely different movie. But I wanted to read Miles's comment anyways. And Miles does a Simpsons podcast, The Best Darn Diddly. He's also been doing stand-up comedy for the past couple of years. So definitely follow Mr. Most Days Off on Twitter follow him at Best Darn Diddly. And I think his personal account is Mr. Most Days Off. Follow either of those accounts, but it's his personal account, Mr. Most Days Off, where he'll post about his comedy dates and stuff. So definitely check that out and help support our buddy Miles. Go see him if he's on tour in a town near you. Crumb, I still call him Crumb, even though he goes by Jason Noir now. He wanted me to say that the wolf puppets were fantastic. I think that was in reference to the movie Miles was talking about. I'm not sure. I don't know if that movie has wolf puppets in it or not. Bob from the Cretans Guild said, "Can I make comments on the Epcot ride?" Which I said, actually, absolutely. I plan on incorporating a bit of talk about the ride as well, which we did. And then he never made any comments about the ride. But I did want to, I still have love for our buddies that we grew up in podcasting with over the past couple of years. So I did want to get their comments on the air, even though none of them ended up relating to the actual movie.
Fair enough.
I put that out there today, and I want to read their comments because I still love all of them, even though we're not as close as we once were because everyone's lives have taken them in different directions, but I still have love for everybody in that group, so I want to get that out there. But we are at about an hour, we just hit the hour and a half mark on this podcast, so that is going to be a lot of editing for me. So we are going to wrap it up. Josh, before we go, is there anything else that you would like to say? Any final words that you have before we go?
Just thank you, everyone, for listening. Enjoy Frozen. Enjoy our review of Frozen. Enjoy all the stuff that's coming within Frozen Mania, I guess. That's what we're going to call it right now with all the stuff that they're building. It is a bucket list of mine to get to those other like parks around the world. And, you know, they'll never be finished, though. It'll be great to go see them at some point. And have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to get to those frozen lands in Paris and what was it? Tokyo?
Tokyo, Hong Kong, and Paris.
And Paris. Okay. Yeah. So I can't wait to see what the final product for that looks like. But so as Josh said, we hope you enjoyed this review. If you did enjoy this review, like I said, let other people know where they can find us. Share this podcast with your friends. We're available on most major podcasts and platforms, like I said at the beginning of the show, including but not limited to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and of course Podbean. Ocho Ortiz, DisneyPod.podbean.com. You can follow us on socials at Ocho Ortiz Disney on Twitter or X, whatever they're calling it these days. Whatever you're calling it these days, I still call it Twitter. Ocho and Ortiz Disney Pod on Instagram and Facebook, facebook.com/ Ocho and Ortiz Disney Pod. And I forgot to mention it earlier, but you can also check out the video portions of these podcasts on our YouTube channel. Yeah, so just go on YouTube and look for Ocho and Ortiz Disney Podcast, or you can go to youtube.com/@ Ocho and Ortiz Disney Pod. Our videos, although our views have been getting kind of messed up by YouTube, because one day YouTube will say we have a ton of views and then all of a sudden I'll look the next day and a bunch of views are gone. But we are starting to get more and more views on our videos, which we appreciate. So you can check out the video portion there. And if you do, please feel free to subscribe to the channel and leave us a comment. Let us know what rating you would give Frozen, what you like about Frozen, and did you like the original Frozen better than the sequel, or the sequel better than the original? Like I said, give us a subscribe, leave us a comment. And with that, as always, whether you're listening or watching this in the morning, the afternoon, the evening, whatever time of day it is, where you are, when you're watching or listening to this, we appreciate you watching or listening to this. We thank you for watching or listening to this. And we will talk to you all again very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Adios.